And then someone went,
testing, 1, 2.
I can really taste the bacteria.
What's up, John? What's up, John Burton?
1, 2, 3, 4. Why you can't have a best?
Okay, wait. Let me rewind. John, you're right.
Right. I'm just going to play us in a little bit.
When are you going to tell me we're starting?
We started.
Okay. Awesome.
All right, I see how it works. So I think I got it.
All right, well, and if you don't, it's like I said, it's a casual show, so if you don't have it.
I'm like, this is totally my jam. Like, not to be in front of a crowd.
Oh, really? It's typically the opposite for people. Like, they find this is the hard room.
Oh my God.
I do. I find this is the hard room. I'd rather play in front of people than do this for music anyway.
Right. But. Well, we'll see. Who knows? I might hate it. It's the first time, so you know.
Well, maybe you'll hate it. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
I'm gonna play us in, although I don't know why. Hold on a second here. See, I told you it's a casual show.
All right.
Hey, this is John. This is Home From Here. The thing's July 27th, right? Yes, July 27th in Wappingers. I'm hosting the James's Warriors Music Festival. Get tickets at jameswarriors.org. That's important because I just met a musician who's going to perform there. She happens to be on the show today.
Woohoo!
August 24th, The Lifted Project is performing at the Hope Rocks Festival. That's in Saugerties. There aren't tickets for that, so don't worry about it. Just show up. A lot of the original choir is going to be there. We're going to talk about how we did it. We're going to perform it. And we're answering questions in a panel discussion before that. I don't even know what a panel discussion is.
You got me.
Okay, fair enough. And if I sound a little crazy, it's because I just got my records read. My Ashtonic, I think, records read. And I learned more about myself than I wanted to know. But that doesn't matter because now I'm with Patty Atkinson. Hey, Patty.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. This is so exciting.
So you're going to be great. I can hear already. That's awesome. I don't have to do any heavy lifting.
No. Oh, my God. I have so much to say.
I did this show. This show, not the last one I just did, but the one before that. And it sucked so bad. I've been miserable for like 4 days. I'm like, get back in the studio and do something good. So thank you for coming here.
All right.
I appreciate that.
All right. I'm ready, man.
All right. So you're a musician.
Yeah.
Singer-songwriter.
Yeah, I was in the closet since the late 90s as a singer-songwriter.
Right.
And
what were you doing while you were in the closet? What was in the closet with you?
My music. Like, nobody. I'm a very open person. Like, there are no secrets, but nobody knew I wrote songs or that I would sing because it was, you know, I have this noisy roommate in my head who would always tell me things like, you're not trained and you can't sing and who would, you know, like imposter syndrome.
Right.
So it was just my secret for a very long time. But it is also that life's purpose that was always tapping me on the shoulder being like, but it's so important and you got to do it. And it was always a later goal. Oh, later.
Right.
We all do that.
We do.
And
it's a mistake.
It is a mistake.
Yeah.
The time is now.
You did corporate, right?
Yes. I've led many lives. I was an elementary school art teacher in my former life.
Very
I lived
cool.
in Key West, Florida.
Oh, right.
I did that for 4 years. No, but I do. I own a software company.
Wait, that's why I thought
so
that. Okay.
I've got a real estate license. I mean, I have worn so many hats.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of things are shoulds. You should do this. You should do that. This is the right choice. Then you got to ask yourself, but is it? Does it light me up? What is my true purpose?
Right.
I think you're in the same You're having the same moment, hour.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I am actually. Yeah, right. I quit my day job to do this full time, and just got told it was my purpose. So that's helpful. I got to get you in touch with that lady. She will freak you out.
I can't wait. Yeah. That's my jam.
So before we do the music, you have a company now?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I mean, but, you know, it's a software company. I worked there since 2008. In 2019, I had an opportunity to purchase it. I co-purchased it. And I work from home, which has been amazing. I mean, COVID did that. So actually, COVID served my personal life very well. And that's what I do, you know, Monday through Friday.
Right.
In addition to, like, taking care of my elderly parents who have an apartment in my home. They're both 90. And I ended up pulling my kids from school a couple of years ago, and I homeschool them. And I sometimes...
Why did you pull your kids?
Oh, not that I wanted to get back into all of that crazy pandemic stuff, but I just didn't want to do what the district was doing. It was so inconsistent. I felt like I was a prisoner to them. It's now we have school. Now we don't have school. Now there's mass today. Now there's no mass today. And it just got to be so chaotic for us to try to figure out what was going on. My daughter suffers from anxiety. She had a boy in her class pass out. You know, it was a 100-degree day. He fainted. So now she's freaking out. She doesn't want to go. She doesn't want to wear the mask. And it is funny, right? These kids don't have air conditioning in the classroom. And
that's
it's okay
insane.
To put muzzles over them and stick them in a class. But if that was a van of dogs in the grocery store parking lot,
you'd be arrested.
You'd be arrested.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there was just all these like crazy things that I'm like, this just doesn't add up. And my son is not academic and he only wanted to go because he loves his boys. And now he's like, oh, I can't sit with them in the cafeteria and we're not allowed to play in the playground. So I was just like, why am I doing this? I don't have to fucking do this.
Right.
Like, that's it. I'm like, we're done. And then I was like, oh, maybe this is why I was an elementary school art teacher all those years ago, because it kind of prepared me for this.
Right. And how old are your kids now?
12 and 14.
And how do you homeschool? Do you have like set hours that you?
No. Well, it's crazy because, my husband, thank God, before he leaves for work, he does math.
Okay.
So that's like done. Because really, people think it's so hard. It isn't. The only subjects that they have separate is math and language arts.
Right.
Everything else, like social studies, science, music, it's all, they get the same. And I don't want to sit at a table and do it. So we incorporate as much as we can into real life. You know, when I was making the record, my kids would come to the studio. Some of the days were 10 hours. And actually, their background in one song, I found a way to get my family on the record, but they saw Pro Tools and they saw everything happening. And in one day, they had a whole quarter of music done.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like things that we're doing anyway. You were going snorkeling on vacation. Okay, let's look up these fish, science, shell identification. Like anything you're doing, you can find a way to pull in. How's the school? Holocaust Museum in Miami. It is so moving, but it's like, all right, look at the sculptures. There's art. There's social studies. It's like, how can we pull in credit for
this?
Right. So I think a lot of people think, well, I can't do that. I got to sit at a table all day. I can't sit at a table all day.
Right.
Sometimes we do sit at the table and we have to, and other times I try not to.
That's,
you know?
You know what I love about that? And My wife's a third grade teacher, so I'm going to get shot for saying this. But I love the idea. What I think one of the problems with the educational system is there's an end to it, and then you think you've learned everything you need to know. And what I love about what you're doing is there's something to learn every time I leave the front door, and it doesn't end when a bell rings. It ends never.
Right. Right. And that honestly, we're never done learning. I'm 47. I'm not done learning.
You're not 47.
Yeah.
Are you really?
I actually just had to think. I'm like, wait, am I? Maybe I'm 37. No, I'm 47.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You look great.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm like, wait, maybe I'm younger than I think I am. I actually had to think about that. And anyway, going back to your wife, like my friends that are teachers, they're losing the magic in their teaching is being taken from them. You have to teach the test. You can't teach that way, this and that. they're losing their ability to be creative and to connect with these kids.
The mistake we are making, and we went through this with psychology too, the mistake that we are making in teaching, my two cents, is teaching as a profession is one half art form,
yes,
one half science formula, you know, syllabus.
Yes.
And if you take away the art form, it's very hard to find people who are going to be good at just doing the other side. And you almost kind of don't want them teaching.
Right.
Right.
And yeah, the art form is like your wife's life's purpose, how she connects with those kids, how right, she gets them to engage and learn and want to learn.
Right.
But when you take that away from them, now the teachers are like, oh, well, I don't feel like I'm thriving and the kids don't want to be there.
Right.
It's
right,
like give more power back to the teachers. They are the ones who really should be in the driver's seat.
Amen. Yeah, that's our first lesson. Oh, she's going to like that you said that. How long are you married?
So this is my second marriage. And
how's it going?
Good. We've been married since 2008. So the math for me. Are we going on 17 years in August?
18.
Remember, I said my husband teaches the math. My husband teaches the math.
You're in for 16 years.
Is it 16 years? 2008? Okay, yes. So August will be 16 years married.
Oh, what day, August? There's a reason I'm asking.
29th?
Don't ask me.
I don't know. Like, isn't this crazy that I don't fucking know?
I don't know.
So we did a two-day wedding. Like, we had... I think it was the 29th and 30th, and this is what always trips me up, because it was like we did a small intimate ceremony, and then the next day was kind of like a big reenactment.
Right.
So I'm always like, I'm going with the 29th.
Not to one-up you, because that's hard when you have a two-day wedding to remember what date it is. I have two birth certificates with two different birthdays on them.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Do you know which one is accurate?
I'm going with the earlier one. Because why would you issue a birth certificate if I wasn't born? Mm. So one's August 3rd, one's August 9th.
Can't you just have two birthdays?
Well, I actually like to extend that out to a week and
yeah,
and do it that way. But
okay.
Yeah.
That's wild.
How do you write songs? What's your process?
They usually just show up.
Okay.
Sometimes, they usually just show up.
So I ask all songwriters this. Do you channel it? Do you make it? Is it given to you? And you cannot answer it's a mixture of all of them, because everybody says that.
It is a mixture, but I will say, no, I'm going to go back. There is one that started in like a meditation. I had these visuals, and then that's how that one started. There was one that I really was unaware kind of that I wrote, and when I was done and I went back, I went, oh, and I kind of pushed it away, and it freaked me out a little bit. And then there was like another one that I thought I was writing about somebody and I was crying and it just felt good. But then when I looked at it, I was like, this doesn't all make sense. And then a couple weeks later, I found out why it didn't make sense and that it was actually for somebody else. Like, I've had weird things happen. But I'm not like, okay, I'm going to sit down and write a song and it's going to have words that rhyme with blah, blah, blah. You know,
right,
like it's kind
of. Have you ever done that?
Maybe. I don't know.
It's weird because I'm like you. I kind of don't think I write anything. I think the way songwriting works for me is it's given to me. It's my job to fine tune it. And it's not all given to me at once. And there's an interchange. But I'm a huge believer in the muse. There's definitely something that happened. Because I've looked at stuff I've written and go, you can't write that. Are you out of your mind?
Right.
So,
no, and that resonates with me, what you just said.
So I used to just wait on the muse and say, okay, well, you know, when I'm inspired, when it's given to me, blah, blah, blah. And then it's funny because that lady that you just met, Becky.
Yeah.
I've written a song with her. And that process was you got to meet at a certain time. We're going to get as far as we get. And we're going to give ourselves like, you know, five sessions to do it. And it turned out to be one of the nicest things I've ever written. Co-written, actually. One of the only things I've ever co-written and one of the nicest things I've ever written. And I didn't believe in discipline of songwriting until I experienced it. And then I'm like, you could probably do both. Like,
okay.
When it hits, you do it. But also, you got to be there. But that's just me. So, you know, everybody comes at it different.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. They usually just show up. And For a while I was making the record, I almost was like, I had to intentionally shut that off because I felt like I was too scattered. Like I'm spinning and but I really need to finish this project.
Right.
But then I'm like, oh, but you should be writing. But then I'm like, no, I'm taking away from like, I need to get, it took like almost 2.5 years. It was a long process, but it needed to be. I had a lot of growing to do and a lot of learning, and the universe brought me the most magical people to work with. It's
awesome.
Just bizarre.
Right.
It was bizarre.
Supposed to be.
It's supposed to be.
Do you want to do a song quick?
Sure.
All right, hold on. I'm going to mic you. Or well, you sit where you want to sit and then I'll mic you. What song are you going to do? Oh, wait. Got a guitar geek out for a second. You play a Fender?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I do love this guitar. So my brother, Joe, has always encouraged my playing. And his guitars, he buys them and he hangs them up in my office. So I've never actually bought my own guitar, and this one is my nice. Favorite. Yeah, he's you know.
So you guitars just land on your wall.
They land on my wall. Yes.
That's a good, you're living a good life.
Yes. Baby. It's pretty cool.
All right.
So I think we're part of the Von Trapp family. Like we can all kind of, you know, play a little this or that.
Right.
You tell me what you want me to do.
Here.
You're good. I'm just going to put that down there.
Okay.
And you should be good.
So I will say that I'm going to do a song called Divine Epiphany. This is the title of my album. And it is wildly different than the album version. The album version has organs, grand pianos, orchestra. You know, like it's not orchestra. I take that back. Electric guitar. It's a really full, amazing song, but I wrote this one during a health scare, and I was awaiting my biopsy results, and it all ended up being okay. But the day of my biopsy, February 19th, 2021, is actually the day that changed my life. The same day, my cousin lost her 12-year-old daughter to cancer. And it really just like shook me to the core, all of it. And it was like the time that was the emotional impact shift. The time is now. I've been saying later, later, later. And it was like, no, it's right now. You got to go now.
Right.
So I kind of bartered like, okay, if I have health and I will go forward, I'll do the music. And this was that reevaluation of life and like, what am I doing and what should I be doing and what do I want to be doing? So that's where this song was born.
The time between the test and the results. We allegedly put somebody on the moon. I'm not 100%, but we allegedly put somebody on the moon. I give me 4 minutes. I can actually talk you out of that we were on the moon.
Oh, I actually believe you to begin with.
Oh, okay.
So you don't have to talk me out of it.
There we have it. All right. Oh, but all right. So my watch can talk to your watch. We can do that instantaneously, but we have to wait a week and a half or
test results. Yeah, mine was almost 3 weeks, and that was like
insane.
The worst 3 weeks
of course,
my life.
There's nothing.
Oh no, wait. You're right. The results were about almost 2 weeks, a week and a half.
Yeah.
It was the time to we see something to the biopsy, to the results. That was the 3 week span. But the not knowing is
how do you think about anything else?
Yep.
Oh man.
Yep.
All right, I'm sorry. Do the song. Sorry.
No, so that,
what's it called?
It's called Divine Epiphany.
Divine Epiphany.
Which is
also on your water bottle.
That's the title of the album.
Okay.
So I was really hell bent on doing a whole album. Not just a song or not just six songs or, you know, I'm a 90s teenager and you listen to the full album from start to finish and it told a story and it stampedes, you know, it marks a time of your life. It's like I can hear a whole album and I go right back to where I was and who I was with. So to me, it was like, no, it's a whole album. So this is Divine Epiphany. And again, it sounds very different. I am... Here's the paradigm, the noisy roommate. I am not a singer. If you want Whitney, you got to listen to Whitney. I am not a guitar player. I just play what I feel. So it's very different than the album version.
You and I, I'm going to lecture you when we're done. Go ahead.
Okay, you can lecture me. Okay,
I'm
Divine Epiphany.
Waiting on
my cards, sage or innocence. Trying to sleep, consuming anxiety. I've packed up my things, grabbed my sword, stones, and my wings. It's time to leave my blind epiphany. Jump right in, claim your win. Will you hold my hand? Don't leave me alone. How do I go balancing unwanted roles, trying to scream, unblocking energy? Divides my tragedy, living inauthentically. Jump right in, the healing winds come on, hold my hand. Together we will go. Clear destructive ways. Reclaim the kid before the change. Was blind, now freed in my epiphany. Come with me, oh, divine epiphany.
Yeah, man. That's good.
Thank you.
Buckle up for the lecture now, honey.
I'm ready.
No, you really don't think you can sing or play?
No.
That was good.
No. But when you... I mean, I've started to accept, like, okay, you are a killer songwriter. And it was really cool to have these heavy hitter musicians come into the studio to play my songs.
Right.
And, like, hearing that and them thanking me for writing the songs for them to play on was like, oh, my goodness. You know, I never saw it. So now I'm like, all right, I'm a songwriter. I love songwriting. That's really what lights me up.
Do you ever – all right, so I mean, you're a songwriter. You can give me advice. I'm trying to write a folk opera.
Wow.
It sucks. right now it sucks. It won't suck. But do you have advice for songwriters?
No.
You just got to
– No, I feel like I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So I'm like, you know.
But you do it well.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, it's all about the storytelling. I am just so big on the lyrics. Right. And a lot of times the guys would be like, wow, this is a lot. Like, there's a lot of words.
Right.
And but that's what gets me. When I listen to music, I love the storytelling. That's what I connect to.
Which comes first for you?
I guess it's probably been both. I feel like it usually just comes at the same time.
Really?
I feel like it comes at the same time. Or maybe I will start writing the lyrics to a melody and then I'll pick up the guitar and something will, you know.
How many guitars are on your wall?
Three. But one of them's like, we call it the grandfather, who like probably doesn't work or really play right. And he's just been moved to so many states. He's like been around with different family members. Funny. And he's up there just because he's, you know, by default.
Right.
And I don't want to say it wrong because I feel like it's a disservice. But Babbitts, there's a beautiful guitar locally made. It might be Babbitts.
Okay.
And it's gorgeous. And it's very well made and all these great things. But it's really interesting and it has these – it kind of like rubs on my arm when I play. So even though it is – by default, like the nicest guitar up there and the one that probably sounds the best.
Right.
It just doesn't feel right. Yeah. Like when I play it, I'm like, it's just not the right one.
So, okay. Got my line of musician questions for you. I have a theory that, so to make music on a guitar, it has to vibrate, right? It's a percussion instrument. You have to hit it for it to do something.
Yeah.
If you think of guitar as a percussion instrument that makes sound through vibrate, you're not blowing air through it.
Right.
You're hitting it.
Yeah.
And it vibrates, and that's what makes the sound. The string vibrates, the body of the guitar vibrates. You also vibrate, right?
Why don't we go down?
You also vibrate. So my theory is that your guitar will sound different when I'm playing it than it does when you're playing it, just because you and I vibrate different. What do you think?
Oh, well, and it will, because your fingers know the chords to hit. Like, I'm not even hitting the right strings, and then they're buzzing. And it is so funny, because when I showed up into the studio to make the record, and I, like, show up on my guitar, and they're like, oh, no, you're not going to be playing on it. And I'm like, really? Oh, wow, that's so wild, right? Because these musicians who play like you, right, who are, like, seasoned and know how to push and where to hit, like, my fingers don't do that naturally.
Are you practicing? If you don't like the way you play, are you practicing?
It's on the someday list. It's got to happen. Like, I'm like, all right, I'm probably, now that this is done and it's, I'm like, I do want to kind of have somebody come work with me so I can get better at it. And
well, I don't know about better, but if you're not playing the way you want to, here's what I discovered. I don't know if it works for you. I can only write songs I'm capable of playing.
Oh, yeah.
So the more I can play, the more choices I have when I'm writing a song.
Right.
So to me, that would be the only reason, if you're not happy with the way you play, although I think you play fine.
Well, thank you.
That would be a motivator to get me to do whatever you want to do next, because, you know, I like when I pick up something new, I'm like, oh, wait, I can write a song to that.
Right. And you start hearing something in your head and you're like, oh, I could do that with this.
Right.
And it opens more doors. But for me, I also don't want to have to like think about where my fingers are going. And
do it enough,
I
want and that you won't to have
just
to think
right.
About it.
That's the whole thing. I'm like, I need to just do it more so that it just knows what to do without me being like, you're not pushing on it right. And now the string's buzzing and blah, blah, blah. Like
I'm in studio guitarist hell right now. I can say it because this won't be released until after this event tomorrow. Do you know Jenny Angel?
Mm-mm.
Okay, she's a country singer around here. She's Nashville, and she was actually one of the first guests on the show, and we're friends, and it was great.
Awesome.
Right? So she calls me up like a week and a half ago, and she says, "Hey, you know the song Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield?"
Yes.
I didn't. And she goes, "Hey, would you play guitar for me for Unwritten?" And I'm like, sure. Like, how much time do I have? And she's like, a week and a half. And I'm like, okay. And so Jenny plays that a lot. So I figured, like, you know, she wanted me to just go to a show and then call me up and play. Like, no. On the walkway over in Poughkeepsie, over the Hudson River Bridge, which I have never seen, apparently, this guy tomorrow at noon is going to have his wife, or his girlfriend at the highest point of the walkway, and we're supposed to play that song to just the two of them while he proposes.
Oh, damn.
And I'm like, so now I have to take it seriously, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, because normally, like, you know, I can figure things out. But so I'm like, that's the highest pressure gig I think I've ever done. That, like, you got one shot at it. You can't, and do you think you'll ever play out? Well, you're going to play out at the James's Warriors Festival.
Oh, yeah. So because it is so uncomfortable completely for me, when I decided, all right, universe, like, I'll do it, the only way to have the breadcrumbs reveal itself, like, what's the next step? Because you can't figure out the how. Otherwise, you're never going to do it. You just right. have to follow the breadcrumbs. So I had to show the universe I meant it. So the first thing I did was I ordered like $1,500 worth of equipment. And I was like, now I have to go play
because
I don't want to play. So I did that. And I'm like, oh, shit. All right, now I have to go play. And so I set a goal. I'll do 3 live shows between like this date and this date. And that deadline was the day I did the last of the 3. Like, I, you know, I had to make these biteable goals that I could actually.
That makes sense.
And then calendar integrity. Like, you can't negotiate with yourself. You set the goals. This is it. You can't talk yourself out of it. So
spoken like someone who owns a software company.
Right. So uncomfortably, I made myself do these gigs. And so they were out there, but my husband and I are members of the New Hamburg Yacht Club, and they will ask me to play.
What kind of boat do you have?
I don't.
You don't know?
So, no, wait, it's a Chaparral.
I had a Chaparral.
Okay. I know that, but so.
I had a 38-foot Chaparral.
I can't give you any details.
Okay, fine. Never mind. Go ahead.
We could take you out on the boat.
Fair enough. I'll let you know what kind of boat it is.
But so they will ask me to play, and I like being outside. I'll go there with my guitar. I'll play. So I'll do little gigs there. Sometimes one of my brothers will join me. Another time, another brother came up from Delaware and he brought a drummer. And it's not practiced. We just go and we just do it. And that's fun and enjoyable. But it is easier for me to play my own songs. When I go and I do these things, of course, I have like books of cover songs.
Right.
But it's easier for me to play my own music. I just feel like when people don't know your music, do they really want to hear it? You know, or then start making requests. I'm like, I can't take requests. I hardly know, you know, the book that's in front of me, the ones that I've picked. Like, so, yeah, I will play. And, you know, when they asked me, Dawn Cavicini with James's Warrior, she messaged me. She's like, will you play a song at, you know, James's Festival? And of course, it's like, of course I will. You know, I have to, like, I can have that fear hit me. And then it's like, oh, absolutely. You know, yes, let's go. I can do it. It's just a matter of now getting comfortable and, you know, getting out of my own head on why, you know, all right, the crowd's not going to laugh at you. They're not going to boo you. They're going to clap.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's playing out is weird. I don't do it a lot. I do it like once a month. I'm playing my high school reunion.
Oh, now that's pressure.
I don't know which is worse, that or the proposal tomorrow. But I'm playing my high school reunion. And okay, you want to hear a bullshit musician story?
Yeah.
Okay. So high school reunion committee comes to me and says, Will you play at the reunion? I'm like, yeah, of course I will. And they're like, you know, what do you charge? I'm like, I'm not charging my high school reunion to play at it. So, and this is the same as you buying equipment and then saying, all right, now I got to play out. I said yes, so now I got to do it. Because my gut is no, who needs that pressure?
Uh-huh.
But so I say yes. This other singer-songwriter who's in like the class above me, which means she's older than me. I did that for a reason. Goes to the committee and says, I want to play. And they're like, okay. And she says, I want to do 2 hours after John. And I'm like, okay. First off, you know, you're making me your opener. Because she's competitive with me. You're making me your opener. Second off, it's not a concert. It's a reunion. Nobody should be doing 2 hours. I'm doing half an hour, 45 minutes. But I just thought that was like the big – and it turned out it didn't work for her. But I just thought that was like the biggest bullshit move. I want to do 2 hours after – like. And holding a room with just a guitar for 2 hours is hard.
Yeah, so when I play, it's usually 2 to 3 hours, and I'm holding the guitar, and by the end, I'm ready to, like, pass out.
But I mean, holding the room is hard. Like, keeping the room's attention.
Oh, yeah. Because, well, and that's the other thing. Are you going to just be background noise, where then you're like, I'm at the reunion. Are they just talking, and nobody's even really listening to my craft?
Right.
Or are they, like, we're in it, and we're committed
to
John.
We're in it, and we're committed.
Yeah.
But what do you do in between songs? Because I find that that's as, if not more important than the songs. Do you talk?
I think sometimes I talk.
Okay.
But I also feel like I don't know if people are really listening, you know?
Right.
So I will talk, but I don't think I talk too long. I might like throw in a quick story and there, but
when I do it, it's all jokes and bullshit in between.
Yeah. You're like, I'm hosting a podcast.
Right, exactly. And I'm hosting a music festival, so I got to fucking come with the funny.
Yeah.
So so when I do it, I put like so much pressure on myself to fill that time. So and that's what's going to be hard about this proposal thing tomorrow. They don't even want to hear me sing, let alone talk and make jokes. I'm like, "Wait, how do I play if I can't make jokes? I'm fucked."
So is she going to know, or you just
we're surprising them. We're just standing there, and he's going to walk over and go, "Oh, they look like they want to play a song." And he's going to walk over. He's going to get down on one knee. He's going to say it, and then we're going to play the song.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm so frightened.
So are they – they're not going to have other family members there watching?
No, but there's a videographer there. This is the highest pressure gig of my life.
That you're going to be all over their social media post announcing their engagement.
Right.
And then every anniversary, they're going to be like, remember
this.
Oh,
thanks. I didn't even think of the anniversary. Now I'm really screwed.
You know, you're in it. You're in the commitment for life.
Do you – have you written your husband a song?
The only love song I ever written is for my – yes, it's on my album. So I – my first marriage ended he was unfaithful. We were together for like 13 years in high school and throughout. And crazy enough, my husband and my ex-husband were on the same soccer team in high school. But my husband that I'm married to now, like, we didn't even know each other. It was John Jay in Hopewell. It was a big school. And it's you know, the universe knows. We don't know. So anyway, I felt like a long time I wrote maybe songs that were hurt or angry or different types of writing. And then I really didn't write for a long time. And my husband is so supportive of this. It blew my mind. For some reason, I never thought he would be so supportive, but he's so supportive. He's never said boo about this, you know, any of it.
Does he like your music?
Yeah. So he would always be like, play, play, play. I would have a nervous response and I'd be like, shut up, Trent. You know, I'm not playing for people. Like, I play for him and my kids.
Right.
But I would get like, I can't play. I'm stiff. My voice is choking. And I'd be like, be quiet. Nobody can know. You know, so he was always trying to push it. But so he'll be like, oh, play this one, play this one. And to me, it's like, oh, he loves these songs. And he knows they were written about somebody else at a different time. And he doesn't care. He's very confident in himself. But I'm an empath. So I started thinking, like, what if he played songs about his ex-wife? And how would I feel? And what would be coming up for me? So I wrote this song, I Do It All Again, for him. And it was kind of me sitting in that, like, ew, I probably wouldn't want to hear. He's always like, play him. This one's great. I love this one. And I'm like, ew, I don't think I'd be as encouraging as he is. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. I just went to a wedding. Tom Haney, he's in his 70s. His wife got this crazy disease. And it took her 2 years to die. And it bankrupted him, and it was horrible. And so he's heartbroken, and he was down south. He comes up here with like a box of clothes because and devastated. He's also a fantastic singer songwriter. So we meet, and it was great. But when I met him, he was, you know, still mourning and crying and blah blah.
Yeah.
He meets this woman, Andrea, and they fall in love. And it's the second marriage for her husband also died.
Wow.
And it's the second marriage for both of them. So I go to the wedding. And they get up to, you know, when they get up and they give a toast and a speech to each other, they each toasted their deceased first spouse.
Oh my God, I love that. And honoring that and their journey.
But
and
how complicated is that? Because you're like, wait, I'm signing on to be your lifetime partner, but I don't know. And I asked him, we had lunch after the wedding. I'm like, how did you do that? And he's like, I just felt like I had to, and she just felt like she had to, and they navigated it. And I'm like, that's an elevated state.
That's right? Amazing. That's an elevated state.
Yeah, yeah. Because I don't know how I would feel if, you know, my bride's toast was to her former husband.
Well, you know, everybody in your path has made you, help mold you to the person you are today.
Right.
And sometimes they got stuck with the ugly parts of you that you've then made better, and now you've brought the better into the next relationship or, you know, whatever. It's like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts. Do you still talk to your ex?
No. No, we don't speak. Thank God we didn't have kids together or we would have been, you know, bound. But so, like, it's funny because my husband Trent has now said this song, I Do It All Again. He's like, this should be marketed as, like, the first dance at a second marriage. Like, this song is great.
That's a great idea.
You know, and I'm like, you know what? You're right. Oh, I didn't prepare that one.
Okay, all right.
I didn't prepare that one. So here's the thing, right? When I, in the 2.5 years of working on this record, I kind of stopped playing because I was so involved in the studio and the mixing and all these other things. And so when you just asked me on Tuesday to play, like, I was like, whoa, I have to blow the dust off everything and kind of relearn.
Right.
And I did. I had to, like, pull out my lyrics, which I know my lyrics, but I had to, like, pull out my sheet music and get reacquainted with them because I kind of forgot.
Yeah.
So I probably could play it, but I would need a minute to, like, look it up and get, like, a little refresher.
Right, you have other stuff, right?
Yeah, okay. I have other stuff.
Wait, exes. I had a question. Exes, writing a song for exes, blah, 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 blah. So your husband actually asked you to play?
Trent?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's...
Hey, Trish. Trish is my wife.
Yeah.
Hey, Trish. So... when I play, my wife literally vacuums underneath me while I'm playing. And
that's
hysterical. No, that's one interpretation. Trish, so this lady, her husband actually asks her to play.
Well, wait, Trish, let me tell you this, Trish. He doesn't go around the house asking me to play. When we have guests, he asks me to play. So, and then that makes me like, oh, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. But no, we're not sitting at home, and he's not like fanning me and feeding me grapes and saying, please play. Oh, see, because
that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking to be fanned. I want grapes.
Well, that would be ideal. I mean, come on, Trent, you taking notes? You should be fanning me and feeding me grapes and telling the woman, me please. To play.
And then, I write songs, right? So I sit down and I give myself a drill because playing by yourself is not necessarily, I mean, it's good, but it's also good to play in front of people so that when you do play out, you just learn to read people. So I give myself a drill while I go out and I'm like, okay, Trish, name a song you want me to play of mine. I don't know any of the names. I'm like, 25 years married, doesn't know the names of any of my songs.
She can sing them. I bet she could sing them. She might not know the names. The names can be complicated. Trish, I'm throwing you a bone.
You are.
The names
thank
can
you.
Be complicated. She probably knows the melody or the chorus.
You're being very kind. You want to do another one?
I can do another one, yeah.
What do you got?
So.
And we should say that at the James's Warrior Music Festival, you will be coming on to introduce Circle 65, right?
Yep, I'll be introducing the last band.
That'll be like around 8.
Yep.
Like 7:45-ish.
Yep.
Okay, so 7:45 if you want to hear Patty.
And I'll be singing Give It Up, which is on the record. It's like an 80s rock song. It's really cool. Acoustically, it's very different, but obviously, if it's the end of the night, I have to pick something that's going to feel like pump it up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to play one of the low ones and bring the whole crowd down and be like, right. "All right, now come up and dance."
Oh, okay. So
it'll be a good one.
Listen to my curse now. You ready? Because this show's obviously about me. I'm doing way too much talking. Sorry. No,
that's all right.
So part of what I want to do is James's Warriors is an organization that provides education and awareness about suicide prevention and the stigma around mental health. They're a fantastic organization, great people. It was born from the death by suicide of Donald Thomas's son. And I also was suicidal, which is why they asked me. And so I know what that walk is.
Yeah.
And whenever I talk about suicide or performing like anything with suicide awareness, the first thing I do is I honor the people who have gone before, who got us here, people who have died by suicide. And the way I do that is I play Fire and Rain. Okay. Which, do you know the story behind that?
No.
Oh, James Taylor gets drug addicted. But when you have drug addiction, you have back when he had it, rather, there weren't rehab centers that you would go to. So right. You went to an asylum with everybody and tried to sort yourself out, right? So he goes to the asylum and he meets this woman named Suzanne. And she has an extremely limited IQ, but they hit it off with each other. He gets better and he gets released and he says, I'm going to come back to see you. But she doesn't understand that he's going to come back. She just thinks he's leaving and is gone forever. He comes back 2 weeks later to visit her and she has killed herself. So that's the Fire and Rain song. So I have to play that and then be followed by a rock band. How miserable is that?
You know, but you and Donna, James's mother, it's like taking that pain and turning it into power and actually doing something with it.
Yeah.
Because it is so important. Everybody should be talking about this stuff. Like, I feel like a lot of my album is really like, let's uncondition the conditioned in so many different freaking ways. But why have we been conditioned that, like, you can't talk about suicide. You can't talk about it's bad, bad. Shh, shh, not my family. Are you kidding me? I would never be like, oh, that won't happen to me or my family. How do I know? Right. I don't have a crystal ball.
Right.
No judgment. We all should be talking about it. We all should be open about all these things. That, you know, drug. One of my friends died of a heroin overdose, you know? Mm. And it's like, we need to stop the stigma.
Right.
Like, everybody thinks they know what it is. You don't.
Right.
You don't.
Right.
You don't know, you know, why somebody's in their shoes. And it's so interesting you said that, because the song I'm going to do next, wow. So now I love it when I can hear my music differently. And I try not to give too much background because I want people to hear it for how they're supposed to hear it and the meaning they're supposed to get.
Right.
But so this is so wild. I wrote this song, Who I Was. And it was really about, this is the one that started coming to me in a meditation and becoming a new version of me with this goal achieved. And it really was inspired by Julie Ciardi. She has a program called Ignite, and I joined her program. And that really brought to my attention all of the noisy roommate, the paradigms, all the things holding me back. Mm. And I can honestly say without her program, I would have never even contacted the studio. The universe wouldn't have rolled out this amazing road with all these people to help me do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I really thank her. Heartfelt gratitude to Julie. But as you're talking about suicide and you playing the song, I'm like, wow, maybe this and parts of this is also about that journey. Somebody who is struggling, somebody who can then look back and be like, I don't even recognize this face in front of me. This isn't who I was. We all have a chance to do over.
Right.
You know, and what happened in the past, it doesn't define you. It's a part of you. It has shifted the landscape of your life and your story, but it doesn't define you.
Right. Right.
And
beautiful.
I think that's amazing. So congratulations for being here and having this podcast and being a survivor and not being afraid to, like, you're talking about it.
Yeah,
you're like, it's okay. And other people out there, I see you, I hear you.
Right.
And keep going. And it's like what Donna's doing, you know, like educating others. She's saving lives. She's talking to kids, junior high, high school, middle school, saving lives. What's more important? Go buy your damn $20 ticket, people.
Thank you.
It's for a good purpose.
July 27th already. And we're at an hour, so you're going to play us out. Oh, is that cool?
Yeah.
That flew. Can you come?
You're going to have me back,
I was about to say, can you come back?
Yeah, of course, because I didn't even finish of the things I needed to say.
Oh, okay. Well, I have a hard out at 1 because they...
That's studio, right. What time is it?
It's 4 minutes to 1.
Oh, shit. All right. So this is who I was.
So you're
going to
play us out. This is Patty.
Patty Atkinson, who well, I where, was. Oh, wait.
Where can I get the album? And
so go to, so I don't know. The streaming world is so weird. There's only two songs, Patty Atkinson. I'm on Spotify, Amazon, blah, blah, blah. Follow me there. But if you go on my website, pattyatkinsonmusic.com, the full album is there. And if you add the digital album to your cart, it says it's $20. But if you go to checkout and you type in 4James as your coupon code, that's the number 4, capital J-A-M-E-S, lowercase, 4James, it will go to $0 and you can have it for free. So come spend that $20 and buy a ticket for this important event.
Thank you for coming in here.
Of course. So here's who I was. In fear I sow the earth shut with a needle and thread, rushing rivers persisting, unseeming me again. Tug the land, stretch it whole, the gorge nails me apart. Fear stops life from spilling from the canyons of my heart. Took the time to watch back the real I. Took the time to allow myself to feel self-love. Don't recognize this face in front of me. This isn't who I was. Footprints in the sand till the wind blew out my tracks. Took one breath full of dust. There's no going back. Can't see my path. I won't come undone. Sandstorms pellet on. Rattles me. I can't believe I've made it this far. Took the time to watch back the real I. Took the time to allow myself to feel self-love. Don't recognize this face in front of me. This isn't who I was. First night, darkness, shadows persist. Ignite brightness, success, abundance. Flash my badge proudly, shiny objects earned. Wipe tears of salted pride for everything I've learned. Quicker I broke down walls, quicker progress came. Arrived a different version of me. This person's not the same. Took the time to watch back the real I. Took the time to allow myself to feel self-love. Don't recognize this face in front of me. This isn't who I was. I was. Ignite self-love.